During my first year and a half at Cornell University, I was lost in the craziness of the science requirements for cows, making new friends, and joining clubs. While I liked my classes, I felt that something was missing, and I wasn't doing exactly what I felt my purpose was. In the spring of my sophomore year, I decided to take Introduction to Adult Learning, a course that had a major impact on the next 2.5 years at Cornell, and introduced me to the wonderful education minor. Spandorfer, and this is my Capstone Podcast. Cornell offers a wonderful program called the Community Learning and Service Partnership, also known as CLASP. This program matches Cornell students with Cornell employees to tutor the staff as a mutual learning opportunity. Additionally, I was able to participate in a coursework component to this program when I took both Introduction to Adult Learning and Adult Learning Methods with Professor Raymer. I studied different theories to utilize in my teaching, and I also learned lesson planning and workshop skills. I worked with 2 learning partners. The first, let's call her Linda. I taught her how to use a computer and how to type. The second, let's call him Jonah. I taught him fundamental English language skills, and I helped him study for the U.S. citizenship test. This was the most humbling experience I've had at Cornell and made me learn to truly appreciate the different backgrounds of everyone around me. Through the CLASP program, I watched a film called The Philosopher Kings. This documentary was eye-opening to me because it derailed stereotypes of what it is like to be a janitor at a Cornell campus. Revealed the tight-knit bond that campus employees form with students. Often, these people are ignored, but I always make sure to smile at them and wave hello to everyone I see on campus. CLASP truly revealed a lot to me about who I am as both a student and a teacher. My greatest insight from this experience is the fact that teaching is a mutual learning opportunity for everyone. Working with my learning partners, I realized that there is so much that they can share with me that I would never have learned. When I worked with Linda, we discovered that we both had a passion for baking. She shared with me her favorite recipes and always brought me treats. When working with Jonah, I decided that since he was learning English from me, I should take the time to learn his native language as well, which was Spanish. I use the program Duolingo, and we are able to share our new language discoveries with each other during every session. When I lead my own classroom, I want to provide my students with a platform to teach, not just learn. One way I envision bringing mutual learning into my class is by having students teach each other about aspects of their lives or culture. For example, as I hope to teach in New York City one day, an assignment I hope to task my students with is to have each one pick a landmark in the city, visit and take pictures, and then share with the entire class why they love that place. I want to provide each student the opportunity to teach everyone else about something that's special to them and why it is so special. This way, the students will be excited about teaching and learning. Through my participation in CLASP, I realize how important it is to be self-reflective and to take the time to listen to and learn from my students. I will continue this practice in the future and make sure that I will always have an ear out for what I can learn from all of my future students so that it will always be a mutual learning opportunity for us. Shifting to my experience with elementary students, last fall, through an independent study with Professor Duff, I had the opportunity to student teach first graders at Bell Sherman Elementary School in Ithaca, New York. Here, I worked with a very diverse group of students. While some of them were native Ithacans, others had recently moved to Ithaca from places like Russia, Cambodia, and even China. This was my first time working with students who, well, many of them barely could speak English at the beginning of the semester. I remember one student, I'll call her Lily. In the beginning of the year, she would not even speak to me. Instead, she would point out what she needed. For instance, she would show me her boo-boo to ask for a Band-Aid. But by the end of my semester at Bell Sherman, Lily began to speak to me and the other students with full sentences. I was so proud of her. Unfortunately, this is not the case for all students. One student, Matthew, showed little improvement. He was a native Spanish speaker and struggled with reading, but spoke English beautifully. I worked with Matthew to help him improve his reading, but he was still behind his classmates by December. For my final project for Professor Sybil's course, America's Promise, I created a podcast about modifications in classrooms for ENL students. Just to define, an ENL student is a student that is learning English as a new language. According to Danelle Rees, there are two approaches to modifications for ENL students. One is differentiation. She defines this as an approach to schooling that provides instruction according to students' individual needs. The other approach is universalism, and Janelle Reeves defines this as an approach identified by the equal treatment of all students. After working at Bell Sherman and after taking Professor Sybil's course, America's Promise, I realized that modification is a component that I must bring into the classroom in the future. One of my key insights from my education minor is the fact that all students learn at different paces. So just because one student totally understands something doesn't mean that the next one will be able to process the information as quickly. So I know that when I go forth as an educator, I have a duty to make the proper modifications for all of my students, but this doesn't mean letting them fall behind. And that is a fear and a critique that many people have about modifications. So when I'm a teacher, I'm gonna make sure to be very aware of all of my students, where they might be falling behind and where they are succeeding. If they are succeeding, I'll nourish that skill and make them feel great about it. But if they're falling behind, I'll let them know that that's okay, and I'll make sure to take the extra time to go through the material with them to help them catch up to their classmates. Not only that, but I will use different mediums of instruction and assessment with my students. Some students might be more visual learners, so I will use children's books and images to help them master the material versus PowerPoints. Some students may prefer essays to quizzes, so I will mix up which form of assessment I use. Beyond utilizing different methods of instruction, I believe that it is important to check in on my students and assess how they are not only academically, but socially and at home. My mom recently sent me an article about a teacher who, at the end of every week, has each student write down two students that they want to sit next to in the classroom. The teacher does not necessarily follow these requests, but she uses this as an assessment to see who was left out and who might be isolated from their peers. This is a method that I want to bring into my classroom too, so that I truly can look out for who is being left out or who might not be as socially successful as other students, which really is a key step in succeeding as a student. If a student feels down socially, they may be distracted from their academic needs as well. This will allow me to be aware of my students and to see who needs extra help, socially and academically. Lastly, I want to discuss my most recent fieldwork experience. As a student in Professor Duff's educational psychology course, I recently worked with a third grader at Dryden Elementary School, and for now, I will call her Ella. Together, we wrote and illustrated an exciting and fantastical short story about a two-tongued snake. At first, I felt challenged working with Ella because she was very shy. I would ask her questions about her story, and she would be reluctant to answer me. But after some time getting to know her, I met the smart, savvy, and sassy girl that Ella truly is. I think the purpose of this fieldwork, which was also a major insight for me, was to relish storytelling and imagination for a young child. Together, Ella and I created an amusing, fictitious story. We used our imagination to do so. As an avid photographer, I also was able to teach Ella about different camera angles and special effects. loves learning about how to use a camera as much as I love teaching her about it. After this experience, I am now able to truly cherish the importance of storytelling for young children. I know that in a few years, I will be an elementary school teacher myself, and I am excited to share my love for storytelling with my students. At Cornell, I was on the executive board of Slow Media, a student-run media group that covers everything Cornell-related through magazine articles, photography, TV videos, graphic design, and more. This was a very special part of my Cornell experience and allowed me to express myself. In the future, I want to spark my students' interest in storytelling and journalism by bringing these activities into my classroom. Whether we are writing books or are creating a class magazine, I know this will be a valuable way for me to teach students about something that I love, but also to share my love for storytelling. Something I learned in America's Promise was that across the United States, financial funds are not evenly distributed throughout public schools. As a result, some students attend schools with drama programs and athletic teams, while some lack any extracurriculars or school spirit at all. Therefore, I believe that storytelling is so essential in school curriculum because it can be done without any materials. The passing down of stories is a tradition that has been passed down throughout the history of the human species, not just because they are entertaining, but they are also a way to provide children with anecdotal lessons about topics from all ranges of life. By having children also write stories themselves, they truly can learn the meaning of a good story. Reflecting back on my experience as an education minor, I realize that I'm leaving with three major insights along with valuable experience. I now truly cherish how teaching is a mutual learning opportunity. Additionally, going forward, I know that I want to be the teacher that looks out for every student, whether they're succeeding or struggling, and will do whatever I can to make my students do their best. And lastly, I want to bring the joy of storytelling and imagination to all of my students. I have really loved my experience as an education minor and have discovered who I want to be in the future. I want to thank everyone that's been there for me over the past 3 years that I've been an education minor and everyone else for the past 4 years. And I'm excited to see what's next. Thank you to Ben Sounds for letting me use your music, and I just want to note that all names of students have been changed in this podcast.